found this in Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. Prepare to rock out with your host, David Duncan.
And Aaron O'Brien.
Yeah.
Who's no longer the party robot, but the kiss robot.
My tongue is extending out very far right now.
That's what extends are for.
Tongue extensions. Thank you.
Well, tonight,
we have a special guest.
We do. We have a very special guest. You may have heard the lyrical song in the background as we were recording our intro just now. Warp 11. They have graciously let us use their music for our podcast, so we don't have to steal it from anybody.
Yeah, don't want to steal.
Stealing's wrong, guys.
That's Star right. If Star Trek told me anything, stealing is wrong.
Yes.
So we have Carl Miller. He's he's a singer bass player for Warp 11, and he is going to be on the show, and we're going to talk about his music and what they've done in the last over 10 years. Right? They've been together for a long time. They've been,
yeah.
I believe it's been like 15 or 16.
Their first album came out in 2000.
Okay, so I mean that's probably way over that. So it's way over 15 years. So we'll have him on. He'll be telling everything about music, his love for Star Trek, and sex, drugs, and rock and roll as well.
And we also get a little sidetracked into some of our other nerdy habits, D&D. So without further ado, here is our interview with Captain Carl. Today we have a really special guest with us. You may have heard the music that you hear at the beginning, the end, and the middle of our podcast. It is provided by Warp 11, and with me is Captain Carl Miller from Warp 11. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Hanging in there. Just getting off work.
Yeah, excellent. So, Dave turned me on to your stuff. I wasn't aware of you guys for a while, and then Dave kept on showing me all your albums and having me listen to them. You guys have some fantastic songs and amazing musicianship as well, not just with the sense of humor, but your musical skills are unbelievable. You guys...
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
did
you have any formal training, or is it just all just garage band and getting better and better?
No, you know, it's funny, because me and the guys and girl in the band have been playing since, I think, like, our first band we formed when we were, like, when I was, like, 16 years old, so it's been a long time. And, you know, we did a lot of different bands before we ended up in Warp 11. You know, I think everyone kind of does the standards. Yeah, we did, like, a Battlestar Galactica band, and we did, like, the Star Wars band. But it wasn't until we did the Star Trek band, I think, that everything really kind of just clicked and gelled, and we were like, oh, okay, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And yeah, we've been doing it ever since.
That's great. That's awesome.
So it sounds like you guys all have a general love of science fiction. So, like, what made Star Trek kind of the last choice?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny when you get into some sort of, I guess you call it a theme band. You know, the nice thing about Star Trek is, you know, it's been around for so long, and it's covered so many, you know, different themes that basically, like, you can come up with any theme for a song, and Star Trek has probably covered that in one form or another. You know, it makes it easy for us because most of our Star Trek theme songs are basically about just sex and drugs and drinking, and there's definitely a lot of that in the Star Trek, so it just made it work really easily.
So the other thing I was wanting to ask you is when you're coming up with your music, does it come like a rift Or like, are you guys just jamming together and come up with a song, or does it come with like a lyric idea? How do you attack?
Yeah, you know, it's a little of both, I think. It's sometimes you come up with like lyrics before you actually come up with the music. But basically, we're all kind of, we like to write. And so we have what we call the lyric folder. And so you just come up with like, you know, like a verse. Like right now, we have a song we're working on called It Only Hurts When I Think Hard. and so you know, you write stuff for It Only Hurts When I Think Hard. And, you know, if you don't have anything like that, you just throw it in the folder. It's nice because, like, you know, our guitarist, Brian, he's just a prolific jammer. And so I practice a lot. He'll start playing something. We'll be like, hey, whoa, what's that? He's like, hey, you know, it's nothing. It's something I'm just kind of spanking out here. And so then we just, when he comes up with a riff, we grab the lyric folder and you just start like looking through something, you know, looking through it until you find something that works.
That's awesome. Because, you know, I've been in a couple bands myself in the past, and it's all been, you know, playing rock and music. But a lot of times it's hard to get everyone on the same page, and it's really amazing that you guys are also talented and at the same time can have the same focus, to be, you know, to put out albums and put out your work, and it has at such a high quality at that, you know, it's like, it's very enjoyable.
Right, right. Well, sure. Well, thank you very much for saying that. You know, it's funny because, there was one point where our quote unquote manager was convinced that we were going to get sued by Paramount. He's like, you know, you guys are so good, but Paramount's totally going to sue us for doing the Star Trek thing and, like, you know, stealing their ideas of Star Trek. And so you guys should totally, like, do another, like, just do a normal band, like, do a band that's not about Star Trek. And what's funny is we had one practice where we're like, okay, let's try to write some music that isn't about Star Trek. But we've been doing Star Trek for so long that literally, like we did it for like an hour. I was like, man, this sucks. Like, it's not working.
Right.
Let's just go back to the Star Trek. And, you know, it's funny. It's like, basically, I don't even know if I could write a song at this point. Because we've been doing this band now for like, let me do the math, for like literally like 17 years.
That's crazy.
And I don't think I know how to write a song that isn't about Star Trek anymore.
That's so wild. Wow, that's amazing.
I've just been doing it for so long. It's like, how do you not do it anymore?
And do you still, I mean, because I mean, this is just me personally. I mean, it's, everyone's different. But, like, you know, when you get together with the band members and, you know, and you're lugging gear and, you know, it's more than just jamming out all the time. There's a lot of hard work involved.
Sure.
Does it ever lose its luster, or do you still come back to, like, at the end, like, man, I still love doing this? Or is it more of a just like, it's just something you just got to just keep going through?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I guess I'll just say after 17 years, it's still fun for us.
That's great.
It's still funny to us. And I guess when it stops being funny, we'll stop doing it.
Let's hope that never happens.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but until now, it just, I don't know, like, the first joke was when we made our first CD, we were like, haha, look, you know, because it was, the whole thing was a joke. We were like, let's make a Star Trek band. You know, that'll be funny. And then we show up to bars and we, like, wear our Star Trek uniforms and people kept coming to see us. And when we put out, like, our second album, we're like, oh, see, that's the joke, right? Like, we're so into it that we've made, like, two albums. and then the next joke was, hey, let's put out another album, like, three albums. And then four albums and five albums and six albums and seven albums. And now we're working on our eighth album, which is going to come out. We're almost done with it. We're in the studio last weekend. It's called Rock Out With Your Spock Out.
That's
and,
I saw that. That's amazing.
I don't know why. Like, every album, to me, the joke is just funnier. That we're just so almost obsessed, you know, with, hey, let's make just songs about Star Trek. Well, you know, sex, drugs, and Star Trek. But to me, every time we come up with a new album, it just reaffirms the joke.
Right.
That's great that you can keep the humor going and that it's still funny for you guys. That's really awesome. And you said your new album you're working on is Rock Out With Your Spock Out. Did Leonard Nimoy's passing have anything to do with your title, or were you kind of going that direction anyway?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We actually came up with the artwork for someone we were working with a while ago, which is this kind of like, it's like a skull with Vulcan ears and the classic, you know, Spock hairdo and like cross guitars that look like the Federation logo. But we were actually working on that before, you know, Leonard Nimoy passed, and we tried to write a song, you know, to honor Leonard Nimoy, you know, kind of we worked on this kind of 3-4 Irish drinking tune.
That's awesome.
But I don't think we could come up with anything that I felt was worthy of his work and what he'd done. So in the end, we didn't.
That's actually what I was going to ask next, because I knew I loved the song, the saddest song ever written about Star Trek, and I was wondering if this was going to be the next most saddest song about Star Trek.
Right. Yeah, that would. If we would have actually been able to write it, I think it would have been the saddest song ever written. But, you know, we're definitely going to dedicate this album to him. But I wasn't at least able to come up with anything that I felt was worthy for Leonard.
Oh, definitely. The man was indeed a legend.
So, yeah, definitely.
And definitely want to, you know, keep that memory. But it's great his name is in the album, so that's definitely...
Right. Something. In fact, I was a little worried for a minute because I'll send you guys an image of what the album cover is. And after he died, it kind of hit me. It was like, wow, is this actually like a little too dark now? And he's actually dead. It's basically like a Spock skull.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but in the end, I was like, oh, it's fine. He'd probably like it.
Yeah. It's all artistic interpretation, too. You know, everyone has their own way of doing things.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing is with and we discussed you know Leonard Nimoy's passing like most people did, and the hard thing is when you're dealing with that is just we have such a like fantasy of these characters. They're so amazing, but when you get into the heaviness of real life, you know, like you know Leonard Nimoy passing, you're like, man, this just really it's something you sometimes you have to talk about, but it's not fun to talk about. So in a band like yours, I mean, I equate you guys having a lot of fun. It's not like, you know, like here's a sad song about Leonard Nimoy. It's like, you know, I have been and always shall be your friend isn't going to be a great song to listen to. So
exactly. In fact, we wrote a line in one of the last songs for the new album that said something like, you know, I've already died once, you know, but I've come back, you know, but I won't come back again, you know. And we were like, we just kind of looked at each other and went, wow, you know, I don't know if we can actually say that. Which is funny because in the beginning we'd say anything, you know, 17 years ago. It was all like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, let's just talk about your snack. But I was like, you know, that's actually a little too dark for even me.
Yeah.
So we ended up tossing that line. It happens.
Yeah, still on the topic of Leonard Nimoy's death, the day he passed away on the way to work, I was actually listening to Beam Me Up to Heaven. And
wow.
So that song, I mean, has even like heavier significance for me now, because I'm never going to forget that he died, and then on the way to work I listened to this song.
Right. And yeah, that's funny. When he died, I actually listened to that song that day too.
Wow.
A tribute.
Oh, it was after you found out that you listened to it?
Yeah, after I heard it, I just put it on. I was like, well, that'll be strangely appropriate, probably.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow. But yeah, that song means a ton to me, and thank you guys so much. You know, I don't know if you heard, it's been blowing up the internet for a little bit today, that Grace Lee Whitley passed away today.
So, oh, no, I didn't hear. I've actually been kind of hung over and sleeping most of the day.
You rock star degenerate.
Yeah, that's the problem when you're like in a band with your friends and your friends all like to party. It causes problems.
You're making your life sound way too fun. Okay, we're all gonna quit our jobs and start our own rock bands.
Yeah, you do it too, because there's a lot of money in this whole thing. Money and women. Women and plastic Vulcaneers.
I'm all right with that.
It can be pretty amazing. You know, it's funny because when I was younger, like I said, you know, we've been playing with each other since I was like 16. And, you know, you're in so many bands when you're young.
Yeah.
If you play an instrument. And there are so many bands where we were trying so hard to make it, you know?
Right, yeah.
You know, even, and this is like before the internet and stuff, where you gotta write these great songs and you'll have like some record label pick you up and stuff. And we just tried so hard, and they were all so horrible. And it's just funny that the band that literally we wrote as kind of a joke for ourselves, because we thought it was funny and cool,
right?
And but it's funny that the band that I cared the least about when we formed it is the band that has gotten the most attention.
That's crazy.
It's like when you don't care anymore, that's when it suddenly everything clicks and it works. Like, because you know, because you're not trying, you're just having a good time. And I think it kind of shows.
Yeah,
people listen to it.
I always think it's sort of like when you're you know, looking for, you know, a girl to go out with, you know, if you're really looking for it really hard, you know, you're putting on all the charms and pulling out all the stops and all the cologne, and it just turns them off. But when you're just like, you know, you got a booger hanging on your nose and
you don't care.
You're just like, hey, how's it going? I just showed up here and I don't even have my pants on. They're like, hey, look at you, sexy, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like I said, our new album is like our eighth CD. I forget what I said. It's seventh or eighth. You know, we had like 12 really solid songs.
Right.
And we're like, well, let's just go in the studio and we'll record those. But we usually like to have like 15 songs on the album. Like, kind of, you know, pack it with content.
Right.
And we're like, yeah, you know, we'll go and record the 12 and then we'll just wait a month and we'll, you know, write three more. And then go finish the album. And, you know, it's funny because I thought the 12 songs, and I say this about every album, but they were like our best songs. You know, these songs are the best songs we've ever written. And I cared so much. I was like, you know, we need to write three more songs, but they need to be worthy
right.
of these other 12 songs that we've written. And it was literally like half a year. It was like 6 months since we recorded those 12 songs. And it was like, yeah, you know, we'll just spank out three more. And I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I hit like some sort of horrible writer's block of, you know, I'd write a lot of stuff, but everything I wrote, I was like, ah, this sucks. Hey guys, let's play this. That sucks. Hey, you know, Brian, write a song. Yeah, that sucks. And literally, I like had like a meltdown, a Star Trek band meltdown.
No.
And I was like, you know what? I can cuss on the show, right? I've already done it.
Oh, you can. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. Then
we'll just slide it explicit on iTunes, like, and we're good.
Perfect. I was like, "Fuck it, fuck this, you guys. I'm done. I can't. I'm done. I my Star Trek well is dry. I can't write anything. Everything I write is horrible. I don't care anymore. Like, I give up. I don't know what to do. Let's just take some. You know, we have a lot of songs that aren't on albums that we call like the kind of weird, quirky, like B-side songs. I said, let's just grab some older songs. And we'll just put them on the album, and I don't care, and I can't do it, and I give up. And literally, like, the next practice we had, we wrote two songs.
Wow.
That are going on the album. And it's just so funny that I think I was just at that point where I cared too much.
Right.
And once I finally, like, gave up and was like, you know, I don't care anymore, then it's like, oh, then now my brain can work again, thank you.
That's
so
it's kind of a life lesson. Yeah, that's a weird thing that does happen with people, and it happens in all sorts of genres in life too. It's not just music.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now when you guys put your songs together, is it you who do most of the like driving of getting the songs put together, or is it just anybody just has an idea?
You know, yeah, I think it's a whole band thing. You know, I when I was, again, like 16, I was in a band with someone that's not in this band, and his big thing was when we put out like CDs, or back then it was cassettes, you know, he'd say, you know, this song written by this guy and this song written by this guy, and I just drive it crazy, because I'd be like, you know, I know, like, you wrote a lot of this song, but I was definitely there when this song was written, and I definitely had influence on
right,
that.
Right, right.
And so on every Warp 11 album, it's always just been all songs written by Warp 11.
That's awesome.
Even if you didn't come up with the riffs,
right,
I guarantee your influence being in the room
right,
had something to do with the way the song was formed.
I couldn't 100% agree more with that, because that happens a lot, and I feel always bad when that kind of politics takes place, and it just shouldn't be there.
Right, right. Well, I think that's one of the things that that jacked up the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, song by, this song's by Lennon, this song's by McCartney, and whoever, you know, had that title on the song got more money, and I think it kind of jacked them up at some level.
Absolutely. It's a weird
not
thing.
Not that I'm saying happen. That we're as good as the Beatles, because we're actually a lot better.
But yeah, there you go.
That's what I was thinking, actually. Because, I mean, I don't know how many Beatles, I don't actually own any Beatles albums, but I've got several of yours. So, I mean, if that's an indication right there.
Well,
right, exactly.
Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you, too, is something I've never done. I've been in a lot of bands, but I've never been in a successful band. But how does touring, you know, for you? I mean, is that like get it to become a drag? Because, I mean, you got to pack everything up. You got to get on the road and drive.
That's funny. You know, it's funny you mention that, because we were just invited to play. We get a lot of, like, weird gigs offered to us, because we're such a, like, weird kind of niche band.
Right.
But have you guys ever heard, up in Humboldt County in Arcadia, or Arcata, they have this thing called the Kinetic Sculpture Race?
No.
You guys ever heard of that?
No.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, yeah. Look it up on the interwebs. Just type in Kinetic Sculpture Race, and you'll see it. Basically, these guys make these, like, these insanely beautiful, like, bicycles. Well, I guess they're not bicycles, because, like, four people can ride them, so they're, like, quadcycles. But they're basically, like, you know, there's, like, a dragon that breathes fire. A lot of the bikes end up at Burning Man. I don't know if you guys have heard of Burning Man, but...
Yeah,
they're just these beautiful machines. And just recently, we were invited, like, one of the crews made, a Star Trek Enterprise bicycle that they ride. And PBS is doing, like, a special on them.
Wow.
And basically they were, like, they wanted us to play, like, on Sunday, because it's, like, a three-day event. These, like, machines ride, and they have to float, they have to go in the water, and they have to be able to ride over these, like, sand dunes. But, like, on Sunday night, all the machines end up on this beach.
Wow.
And these guys, like, were just so hardcore to wanting us to come and play the beach. They're like, man, we'll totally hook you guys up. It's going to be awesome. You know, we'll have generators, we'll have stage. We want to bring you out, and you guys will play on this beach, like, on Sunday night. And it might be raining, but, you know, it's totally cool. It'll be awesome. But that basically is what it came down to, was that question, like, geez, you know, that could be fun, or it could be a complete nightmare. Back up all our gear and drive up to Humboldt County, which is about, like, 6 to 7 hours from where we are in Sacramento,
right,
most of us. And yeah, so in the end, we were like, you know, if I would have been younger,
yeah,
I might have done it. Younger and more eager. But, you know, it's funny. We get a lot of gig offers that are just super weird, and we turn a lot of them down, because all of us have, like jobs.
Sure.
Like, no one makes their money in the band. And what's nice about the band is the band makes enough money, like, through just Amazon and iTunes sales, where the band definitely pays for itself.
Right.
But we don't have to do it. We still do it because we want to do it.
Right.
And so, yes, we get a lot of weird gigs, and it is a pain in the ass to pack up all the gear and go somewhere, especially because our guitarist has two kids.
Yeah.
Which I begged him not to have. I said, what do you don't have, when the first one came around, I go, wait, whoa, dude, you're in a rock band. You can't have kids.
You can have illegitimate kids. It's fine.
Yeah, what about all the kids around the country? We're tour.
Exactly. It's like, that's the end of the rock. But he did. And I, for the record, I'll say, because you're probably going to hear this, I love your kids, Brian. They're amazing. But they suck being in a rock band.
Yeah.
Like, anything we want to do, he has to now clear with his family.
Sure. I've faced that myself.
So the kids don't like to come and watch yet?
They once in a while we do. We play, most of our shows are like in bars, which is where I think the band has always gone up our best because...
You're drunk.
You know, it's
they're
funny,
not 21
back,
yet, so...
Right, because back in the day, it was so much fun when we first started playing before anyone knew who we were. And, you know, we just show up and we have our, you know, we wear like vinyl pants, you know, the black shiny pants, and we cut the sleeves off our uniform,
right.
So, you know, to make us look rock and roll. And it was just so fun, man. We, you know, we'd walk in and people were like, what the fuck? what, you know, because a lot of people just show up to hear music. They don't know who's playing, you know? And it was just so much fun. And we in the old days, we had this, like, this huge, like, box of uniforms, like Star Trek uniforms that one of our buddies sewed together. And so we would show up to the bar, we'd throw uniforms at the crowd and make them put them on.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And then we start playing. It's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, I remember just some of the comments you hear, like, oh, what is this, Star Trek band? Is there a Harry Potter band up next, or Magic the Gathering, you know, going on next? But once we started playing, it was just so much fun because we always would win the crowd over because, you know, the point of the band, the thing that was always funny was that, you know, when you think Star Trek, often you think, oh, nerds.
Right.
Nerds. But then when you launch into a song called Suck My Spock, you know, it's not nerd anymore. Now all of a sudden it's about, you know, sex and drinking and Star Trek.
And so Spock.
Even if you're not into Star Trek, you're probably into sex and drinking. So we still got you. We got 2 out of 3.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool, though. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, that's what's great. What you guys do is that you put the... you've got the rawness of the you know, the rock and roll feel to it, but you still have the playfulness that you're making a joke of it at the same time. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
and I love the name of your guys' show, Synthaholics.
Yeah,
right up my alley.
We're heavy drinkers too.
I was like, that's a good name, Synthaholics. Yeah, run with it.
Have you gotten to hear any of the shows?
No, I haven't.
This will be your first one. That'll be great.
Yeah.
I'll wait till I'm on the show, watch that one, then I'll kind of go back from there.
That's cool. Yeah, we're in the same boat. We have a lot of love for Star Trek, but we find a lot of humor in everything as well. So that being said, is there a specific show that you like better? Do you like Next Generation, the original, or are you just...
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny because when we first made came up with the idea for the band, I had no idea how much I knew about Star Trek until so we actually started writing songs.
Right.
And I was like, oh, you know, I wrote this line, I got a brain of antimatter and a heart of corbomite. And I remember when I wrote that, I was like, oh, fuck, I know a lot about Star Trek. Like, that's not casual knowledge. You know, it's funny, when I was growing up here in Sacramento, Star Trek was syndicated, and we always had, like, dinner at 6 o'clock, and so no matter where I was, my mom made me come home by 5 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock every day, like, for just years, Star Trek was on.
Mm-hmm.
Our local, like, you know, Fox 40, you know, channel.
Right.
And so it was just funny that, like, I never really thought about it, but I pretty much watched Star Trek every day, the original series.
Right.
For probably, like, you know, at least like 5 years, like just every day, to the point where I could, like, you know, I could, like, quote the lines as they were saying them. And so to answer your question, if there was one thing that I, you know, one series that I loved, it's got to be the original.
Yeah.
It was just, there's just this charm to it.
Right.
You know, where it's super cheesy, but at times it becomes totally not cheesy. Like some of the, just some of the topics that they tackle, like the whole, the episode, the one where half their face is black and half is white.
Yeah.
And stuff. I mean, like, when you're, like, when you're like 9 years old, that's intense. I was like, oh my God, like, you know, oh my God, like, when a guy says, what do you mean we look the same? The left half of his face is black.
Right.
The left half of my face is white. I mean,
right.
That just, like, really hit me. Like, oh my God, I get it.
And then totally you're saying to yourself, why doesn't everyone else understand these things, you know, at, you know,
yeah,
9,
exactly.
10 years old, you know? That is one of the, we kind of touched on that too before. It's one of my favorites, the allegory behind a lot of the stories where it really is
right.
What makes me love, especially the original series, but it's there in the other series as well, so.
Sure. And that's, again, I come back to that thing I said earlier where it's like anything that I want to write about. I mean, there's so much Star Trek out there, and they've covered so many topics
yeah.
in so many seasons that anything you want to write about has been covered in one way or another.
Right.
But for some reason, we just, again, come back to the sex and drugs. Although this album is Feklar heavy. You guys know Feklar?
Feklar,
he's like the Klingon, you know, the Klingon.
Oh, the Klingon Satan.
All their gods. But there's one Klingon god named Feklar, which is like, he's basically kind of like their Satan.
It's when they go on the barge of the dead.
Right, yeah, exactly. And in Grathor, the Gates of Grathor.
Oh, wow. You're like doing a heavy metal album in Klingon style.
No, it is. This new album, you know, I don't know if you guys heard, our last album was our first theme, like
yeah.
a concept album. It was
right.
called Borgasm.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it was all about sex, drugs, and Borg.
Right. Is there anything
mostly
better?
Mostly sex and Borg. But this new album, Rock Out With Your Spock Out, is kind of like it's like, I don't know how to describe it, kind of like bar rock, like just good old school rock.
That's cool.
And for some reason, there's like three songs on it that are about Feklar. We have a Sell Your Soul to Feklar. you are not Feklar.
Oh my God.
And some drinking song that doesn't have Feklar in the title, but it's about Feklar.
Good old Feklar. He doesn't get enough love.
Yeah,
in Star
everybody,
Trek.
Everybody loves it. It's funny, too, because unless you're really into Star Trek, most people have no. I keep saying, like, hey, you know who Feklar is? And like, even to our fans, they're like, what? Who? No? Why?
The only episode
most
I
people,
remember him. Oh, actually, he was in two. He was in the one where, like, a Next Generation, where they were all around the
right.
council, and that lady was shaking the world and stuff. She could turn into all the different people. She turned into Feklar.
Yeah, that's where she came from.
And then she also is mentioned in Voyager when B'Elanna half dies, and she's trying to save her mother from going to Klingon Hell and save her from Feklar.
Yes. Yes, it's funny. Yeah, that's one of our song titles is when her name was Ardra in the Next Gen episode. And she's like, and some people, it's like she's supposed to be Satan. She's like, and some people in Klingon, I noticed Feklar. She starts a big demon. And Worf looks at her and goes, you are not Feklar. And that's the name of one of the songs. Is you are not Feklar.
That's great. Yeah, Klingon mythology. Is there anything more better?
Right.
But then again, Worf also thought prune juice was a warrior's drink, so he may not be straight on his facts.
Exactly. You know, we actually we played and we get a lot of weird gigs because we're Star Trek fans. We played a few conventions, you know, here and there. And when we came up with our first album, which was Suck My Spock, the actor who plays Worf was one of the panelists, and my guitarist went up and he goes, hey, I don't know, are you into music at all? You know, because we have a Star Trek band, and he went up and handed him the CD, and he looked at it, he reads it, he goes, Warp 2.
Roman numerals.
Roman numerals. I was like, oh my God, I didn't know the Klingons did Roman numerals. Like,
oh my God, that's hilarious. Yeah, I was curious because when I was younger, like back in the 90s, there was a lot of Star Trek conventions, but I don't.
Right.
They seem to be kind of it's spaced out now. I don't see as many.
Right. Well, they still have the big one. There's a company called Creation
mm-hmm.
that does the one that's in Vegas, and that's like probably the biggest one in the world. And it's funny because, like, we used to, like, really try to play their conventions.
Yeah.
But we were just untouchable.
You're too raunchy for them. They were just,
yeah, we're just like, you know, wait, Boldly Go Down on Me? No. Families we have out there. But then it's funny because one time, one of the guys who was, like, the guy who got the talent, you know, for the shows, he contacted us. He's like, oh, man, you know, I love Warpone and I love you guys. You know, we're having a show in Sacramento. Will you guys play it? And we were like, oh, yeah, you know, and I always try to tell them, I like, we're a rated R band, but we can totally do a rated PG show. In fact, you know, we say fuck a lot
right
in our songs. But, you know, we'll say frack.
Right.
And it's actually, you know, yeah, from Battlestar Galactica. And it's actually sometimes, yeah, it's actually kind of funnier.
Right.
When we actually say frack.
Yeah, because it's an inside joke.
Like, oh, right. So this guy's like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. That's perfect. We love it. So we play this show, and we go over, like, great. Because, you know, we are, if I would say anything about my band, we are entertaining live.
Yeah.
You know, the songs are funny. The songs are good. The lyrics, if you know Star Trek, are awesome.
Right.
And so we play the show, and the guy's like, "Oh my god, man! You guys were amazing. You guys are so good. I want to bring you out to Vegas. You know, we're gonna have you like on Saturday night. Like, you'll be like our end of the night thing for all the people." And we were like so excited.
That's awesome.
And then like 2 weeks later, the guy like quit his job or got fired. I don't know what happened. And then we were like literally, and we've been trying to play a creation show for so long.
Oh man.
And this guy's gone and we're right back to square one. It's like, you know, Bully Go Down on Me? No.
Oh, man.
I don't think you guys are right.
Maybe you took your lyrics to heart.
probably.
His life fell apart when he took them all for us too seriously. That stinks. Maybe they'll have a change of heart in the next. I mean, because with the new movies.
No. We've been contacted again, and there's a big convention coming up in San Francisco. And this guy, like, it's funny. One of our fans actually was like, "Hey, man, I went to this Star Trek convention, and I talked to the guy who, like, was in charge of getting people, you know, to be there, and I gave him a mix, like, CD that I made of you guys, and he loves you guys, and he totally wants you to play, and so I've been in contact with that guy, and I'm just waiting for him to get fired so we don't actually get to play it."
Oh, let's uncross my fingers that he does not get fired. That would be awesome for you guys to attend.
Where are you guys located?
We're actually up in Buffalo, New York.
Okay, wow, that's the other side.
Yeah, we're on the opposite side of you. How is the climate for Star Trek out in your area? Is there still a lot of like fandom, or is there people that are like, because one thing we've been talking about, me and Dave, has been like, since there hasn't been TV shows in the last couple of years, fandom right. seems to kind of like peter out, besides the stalwarts of people like us who are still into it.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've read that a couple times, and don't ask me why, but I've read that Sacramento, where we're based, which is about an hour and a half from San Francisco, is like per capita the number one Star Trek town in the nation.
Is that right?
Well, you're in the perfect spot.
Right, exactly. Right. But, yeah, you know, Star Trek, it's never going to go away. It's funny because when we wrote our album, what was it, our fourth album, It's Dead Jim,
mm-hmm.
was the first time in just forever that there was no Star Trek
yeah.
on television anymore. No new Star Trek content being produced. And that's, you know, in the last song on the album, It's Dead, you know, It's Dead Jim was all about that. But
that
the last line of the song, the last line of the song was, you know, It's Dead Jim, It's Dead Jim. Till they bring it back again.
Right, right.
And it's just so funny that, like, you know, like a year after we wrote that, you know, they kicked up like the reboot, the Star Trek reboot.
Right. And how do you feel about the JJ verse?
You know, I it's funny, I get a lot of arguments with people. when like, because we're kind of a big deal in Sacramento. When on opening night of the film, one of the local television stations that does like this morning show, basically they brought us out to the theater, and we had like seats that were like marked out just for us.
Wow.
Just for Warp 11. Like, you know, we were like, you know, dignitaries.
Yeah.
Star Trek. And I remember when it ended, because like I hated the last movie before JJ.
That was pretty terrible.
Right. Yeah. It was dark, and it was like ripping off Wrath of Khan, and you know, it was just bad.
Yeah.
And as we walked out of the theater of the new one, which was just bright and shiny and very modern, you know, a lot of lens flares.
Right.
We need more lens flares. But I remember looking at Brian, our guitarist, and I said, "Well, dude, we're back." Like, because I just knew like this movie was going to make a ton of money.
Right.
And everyone was going to see it, and all of a sudden we were going to be relevant.
Right.
You know, again, it's funny. One of the guys I work with, I work for Adobe, the software company.
Oh, cool.
As a videographer. And one of my buddies that I work with, who makes a lot of music videos, he's like, "Hey, man," because once in a while, like for Halloween, we always try to like mix it up a bit with the band. And so we have an alternate band where we're highly against filking. You guys ever heard of the term filking? That's where you like take a song and you rewrite the lyrics to be about something else. Right, like there's a horrible folk song where they sing about Voyager over Gilligan's Island.
Oh.
Right back when you hear a tale of a fateful trip.
Oh,
it's awful. But and so we've never filmed, actually, I'm sorry, when we first formed the band, we did a song called Hungry Like the Wharf. But we quickly realized that was just horrible and not a good idea.
Oh, man.
But basically, every Halloween, not every Halloween, but some Halloweens, we filk ourselves.
Okay.
And we make an alternate band that we call, you know, we're Warp 11, so the other band's called Hyperdrive 12.
Oh, man.
And we basically, like, take all our songs and we rewrite all the lyrics to be about Star Wars.
Oh,
my
God.
We dress up like Star Wars and we sing about Star Wars. And this guy I work with, Eric, he's like, "I'm telling you, man, Star Wars, now that's coming, this new movie, it's going to be big. Let's take one of your Hyperdrive 12 songs and we'll make a video for it."
Yeah.
You know, right before the movie comes out. And it'll be huge. Like, everyone's going to want it. I'm like, I don't know. To me, it feels... Like, I love the fact that the pathos of this band, the fact that we have, you know, 7 albums that are just all about Star Trek, that I keep telling everyone, and like, yeah, if we do a Star Wars album, then it's like then we don't care anymore.
Well, it's sort of like, know? It's sort of like the Pope all of a sudden is saying he's going to be, you know, like Lutheran or something like that.
Or it's just the J.J. Abrams betrayal, where he dropped Star Trek and went to do Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah, they dumped a all shitload of money into his backyard, so he couldn't say no to that.
Exactly. So I was like, so basically, we haven't done the Star Wars album, so we've been asked to do the Star Wars album. Because for me, it's like, man, and I'm down with the Star Wars for the record. Like before the prequels, I really liked Star Wars. In fact, the whole like this band was such. It was such a coin toss, like, why we're here, because it's a long, long story that I won't get into, but just basically we're going to make a band for this trade show that we worked for, and it was going to be, like, kind of like Wayne's World, about, like, these two nerds that, like, were into X, and it so was like, let's do a show about, like, I don't know, Star, you know, pause, drum roll, Trek. But it totally could have been, in that moment, Star Wars.
Could have been Star Wars, right. Yeah.
But I think lyrically, we're better off, definitely better off with the Star Trek, because again, there's only, you know, a few Star Wars movies, and only so much they've covered, but Star Trek has been out for so long. I mean, there's just so much content.
Oh.
To draw from.
Oh, definitely. Way better off with that. I mean, Aaron and I could have done a Star Wars podcast because we both are big fans of Star Wars, but as far as for topics, there's not as much to talk about. Especially since they just added the canon. Thing.
You got the Jedi, you got the Clone Wars, and, you know, what do you got after that?
Well, Princess Leia in a bikini, but that's about it. So,
and that's about it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Star Trek, we get green girls, so yeah. Who dance. Princess Leia didn't dance.
Yeah, she didn't dance. That's true. So you're working on your new album. Do you have an official release date, or are you guys still at work at it?
Well, like I said, we couldn't write the last three songs forever, and we finally, once I gave up, wrote them. So we had our first studio date in like half a year, like last weekend.
Wow.
And we had another one, and, you know, it'll be fairly soon, I think, now that we actually have the songs.
Right.
We basically recorded everything over 2 days a week ago, the last three songs. And so then we just get into the mixing process, which for us, we're kind of a little obsessive about the mixing process. We take longer than a lot of bands.
Yeah.
So
it'll probably be quality is amazing.
No, thank you. Thank you. So it'll probably be, I don't know, what is it now? Are we in May already?
Yeah. May
3rd. Okay. Mid June it'll be done, and then we'll realize, oh man, we have to put together the liner notes and take some new band pictures, and we'll realize that once the album's done. It's not saying that I realize it now, so I say July. It'll be out in July.
And get the website all spiffy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow,
that's our website. We kind of worked on a new updated one, and then. You know, it's funny because, again, like the band, it's just fun for us to do it.
Right.
And once it becomes like work.
Yeah, like, then it's like work, it's a drag.
Stop doing it. So like we were working on a new website just because we've had the same website that was put together literally like 16 years ago. but once I realized, I was like, oh man, this sucks. Like making a new website because it's work, and so I just basically we stopped doing it. Yeah. So still the old crappy website, but
yeah, I know it's and now everything's changed too, where everything has to be used to so you can condense it onto your cell phone too. So
exactly.
The whole game has changed in the last probably 2 or 3 years. So
it's funny. Our first album that we recorded was all done on tape.
Wow.
We literally recorded on tape. Like it's funny that we've been around that long. But I tell you what, man, them newfangled digital tools them kids are using today sure does make recording a lot easier.
Yeah, no doubt. You don't have to do the reel-to-reel tape rewind and try to
find it together. Oh, man.
Right, yeah. The band practices at my house, and I have like a basement with a band room down there, and somewhere in that basement is the original, tape.
Wow.
That we recorded our first album on, buried under all the bottles.
all the unreturned bottles. That's hilarious. That's great, man. Well,
so we do have a segment that we do Riker scores.
Yeah, like the sexual scores of Riker or anybody we want to talk about. Is there maybe a special one in your heart that when something happened that you were like, wow, this is hilarious or this is a lot of fun to watch somebody scoring?
Something noteworthy.
Yeah.
Right, of just any Star Trek episode?
It doesn't matter. We just use that in the general sense because Riker seems to be the most successful at getting the ladies.
You know, we used to do the reason this band happened was I used to work for a company that made a box that would let you switch a television show, that was attached to a PC. It was like this box that you plugged into a computer. And that lets you switch television.
Mm.
And 17 years ago, you literally could not do. You had to buy like this $100,000 system to switch television. So it's like, you know, when desktop printing came out, when you could print something from your computer, that was like a huge deal.
Yeah.
Oh my God, wait a minute, I can print a piece of paper with words on it at home? You know, and so so this block that we made was like, wait a minute, you're telling me I can switch television, like, with a computer? You're blowing my mind.
That's
like,
hilarious.
What the hell? But, so the reason we made the band was because we started making this show. Like, the people who ran the company said, hey, Carl, you know, you're creative. Make a TV show. Then we'll switch it, and that will show what our box can do. And so me and this other guy were like, okay, what should we make? Well, let's make a show called About Star, drumroll, Trek. And it'll be like these two nerds that like just talk about Star Trek, and we'll have segments. We'll have like Star Trek haiku. We did it like once a week forever. The show was called The Prime Directive. And
that's
because
hilarious.
I'd always been in bands, and I'd been playing bass since I was like, you know, 14 or 15, I was like, oh man, I got it. Well, one of the things we'll make a band, and we'll sing songs about Star Trek. And that's like 5 minutes. Because when you're writing content for a TV show, it's just all about like filling that. It was like a half hour.
Right.
So you're just, what do we do? Oh, because Star Trek haiku, we got that. Star Trek news, we got that. You know, we'll have a band segment, and we'll just write songs about Star Trek, and you know, that's again 5 minutes that we don't have to think about ever again.
Right, right.
And
right.
And Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, I'm hungover. What was my point?
Well, we were talking about the best sexual moment of Star Trek that was like.
Oh, right, right. You're right. Thank you. And in one of the segments we would do on the show, we had this guy, and he would dress up as William Riker, and basically he would be like, the whole segment was just about like William Riker's thoughts on mopping up the holodeck because of all of the jizz.
Yeah.
That was in the holodeck, especially when Riker was doing it. He would be mopping, and we had like this thing to do like chroma key, so we put him on the grid of the holodeck, and we'd have these thoughts of just reminisce like the night before and how bummed he was that he had to clean the holodeck. And so I know that never actually happened on Star Trek, but you know, if it ever did happen, like Riker was the guy who got the most jizz on the holodeck.
Or Barkley, because Barkley was the holodeck.
I always felt so sorry for the guy who had to mop up after he was done.
Yeah.
And so that's my favorite William Riker moment, is mopping the holodeck when he was sick. Riker, he was a little bit of a pervert.
Yeah, he was. The funny thing with Riker, it seems like he'd go with anything that actually move, you know? Like, if it had a pulse, he was good for it.
And I love, like, I love Next Gen. You know, I know I said the original series was my favorite, but I just love how they would, you know, just get so many, like, social commentary of, you know, what if like women ran the planet and men had to dress all sexy, you know, and Riker falls in love with that chick who's like, you know, the governor of the planet, and he's got wearing the, you know, like the robe with his like nipple hanging. just killed me.
We actually covered that in two episodes ago's Riker scores.
Yeah.
So it's actually, if you look at our websites at the Holics, I've got them set up. All the album art is like 10 different pictures of him and his nipple hanging out.
I'm sure you guys have seen the thing online where someone. I love the internet. Like when I grew up, there was no internet. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Place of lack of porn to grow up. But someone like just found like notice that Riker, when he sits down, he often like takes his like right leg and brings it like over the chair.
Yeah, he's like saddles it.
Yeah, have you seen that? Yeah. Of him just like sitting down.
He mounts all the chairs.
He mounts.
Yeah, exactly. The Riker. Sometimes I do it, and Kiki looks at me. She goes, "What are you doing the Riker for again?"
The Riker maneuver.
Because I can.
The Riker maneuver.
Exactly.
Picard had the Picard maneuver.
We have a line. We have a line in one of our songs about the Picard maneuver.
That's great. I can't wait.
So Riker, he did seem to be the most perverted of all the characters, that he would just go for no matter what.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If it's got legs in a hole, he's going to tag.
Asexual species? Only one way to find out.
Exactly.
Legs negotiable.
Yeah, they tell me that I'm the William Riker of morphology.
Oh, there you go. Then you know you're in trouble there.
See, I remember, again, like, years ago, like, I never thought, like, I would get laid at the stand. That was never the point. But we were playing in San Francisco one time, and we finished. And this is back in, like when we still just had, like, one CD out. So stuff was a little more punk in those days.
Right.
It definitely wasn't, like, really danceable. And the most beautiful girl was, like, standing right in the front row, and she was wasted. And she was just dancing or trying to dance. You know, all these songs, like, what are you, and I'm looking at her the whole show going, what are you doing? You can't, we're not a dance band. Stop dancing. But, like, when the show ended, she came up to me, she was like, and again, wasted. Beautiful. Wasted. And she's like, what are you doing? Let's go get some breakfast. Yeah, I'm going to make you breakfast. You come back to my house right now. And I had just got a girlfriend.
Oh, no.
At the time. And I was like, oh, my God, like, this is the thing I've been waiting for my entire life. I've been in so many bands. I've never gotten laid because of the band. And you are so hot. And I totally can't do it. Like, my girlfriend's standing over there.
Oh, like, no.
Where were you a week ago, bitch?
Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst. That's like one of those dreams where you dream and like you won the lottery or something.
Right. And I'm being bitched with the utmost respect, by the way.
Yeah. I know.
Most definitely.
But I was just so depressed. And it's never happened again. So here's the deal. I'll sum up being in a Star Trek band. If you collect something in your life,
uh-huh.
Like, let's say you're into, like, butterflies or, you know, gnomes, garden gnomes, right?
Yes.
If you are into garden gnomes, you make a garden gnome fan. Oh. Because for the rest of your life, for your birthday and Christmas, all you will ever receive from your friends and people that love you are garden gnomes. Like, I have so much Star Trek stuff. It's insane. Right? But if you are looking to get laid by hot chicks after a show, do not make a Star Trek band, because out of 17 years, a fuck ton of gigs, it has only happened once.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
At the worst possible time.
At the worst time, like literally.
That is
literally a
so
week. I was
so
like, where
funny.
Were you last week? This is horrible.
Yeah. Well, these are wise words from a wise man.
This man knows.
Listen to this wisdom, everyone. And you know, since we're doing a Star Trek podcast, maybe they'll start giving us Star Trek stuff.
Maybe. I know. But you're making me glad.
You know, I think the odds are definitely in your favor.
You're making me glad I never started that D&D ripoff band that I was going to do years ago.
Oh,
so
that would have been so cool.
That's funny, because this girl that I've known forever once contacted me. She said, so I'm making a D&D band, and do you have any advice, you know, for it? And I just said, if you want to get laid, don't do it.
I don't know. I mean, if it's a girl doing the band, D&D is probably majority male game, I would assume, just from any of the groups I've played in, they're predominantly male. So I would assume males would come to this band that might actually work in her favor.
Yeah.
True. I was just speaking from experience. You know, it's funny. I just ran a D&D game yesterday, which is why I'm hungover, because some friends from San Francisco came up. This one guy's birthday, and he's only played D&D like one time. He's like, hey, for my birthday, I want you to run me a D&D game. And I was like, it's done. That's easy, because I play a lot of D&D. And he's really into the Broncos.
Okay.
Like, he's like a major. He's from Colorado. He's a super football fanatic.
Right.
And so the bad guy in the game was a druid named Luck, which I had to look up, by the way. But the guys who knocked the Broncos out of the Super Bowl last year were the Colts.
Right, right.
And so I made the bad guy was named Andy Luck.
Oh, jeez.
Andy Luck, but Andy.
Yeah, yeah. Andy. Yeah. Yeah.
So what edition are y'all playing? Of D&D.
You know, I love the 5th Ed. I have to admit it. I really thought Fourth Ed was interesting until I realized that it was so slow. Like, everyone was basically a wizard. Everyone had their powers that they could do. So, like, the rogues had their rogue power. They had so many powers, you had cards to keep them on.
Yeah.
You know, they were trying to emulate, like, World of Warcraft or something. So everyone just had their abilities. You had your daily powers and your counter powers and your at-will powers. And, man, did it slow the game down. I just remember, like we'd play, and there'd be, two fights a night.
Yeah.
And that was all you could really get in because it was just so tactical.
Right. Y'all got two? My D&D 4AD group only runs like one, and then like if you're lucky, it takes forever.
Yeah, it was brutal. And so, they put out these big old super modules like Against the Giants, where you the old school fighting the giants from the Glacial Rift of the Frost Giant Jarl, but they updated it, and I was like. Yeah, they put out like a book for him, and like it would take me like a year to run this thing. There's so many fights. Like if you only do two fights a night, and there's 100 fights in the thing, that's like 50 games to get through this module. It's horrible. And so when Fifth Ed came out, I was playing Pathfinder for a long time, but Pathfinder is just it's so broken. Once you hit like seventh level. It runs into the same problem that I think all games run into, that we call them splat books.
Uh-huh.
Every time you put out a new splat book, which my buddy calls buy a better character. I'd like to buy a better character. Oh, they just put out a book of fighters. I'm a fighter. Well, I'll buy that book. And, look at all the shit I can do now.
Right.
And yeah. So anyway, I love Fifth Ed because there aren't any splat books yet. It's very quick. It's just quick. It's funny. I run a drow tournament that I've been running like once a year for the last 13 years, where you get like 10 players, and it's like Thunderdome. It's like 10 players enter. You're all chaotic evil.
Wow.
And you all get to build your characters based on the same amount of points. You pick whatever class you want, but 10 men enter, one man leaves.
That sounds fun.
Fun, but when I was running Fourth Ed, because I've been doing it for so long that my system changes with whatever system's out, usually.
Yeah.
So, I started it, I don't run it every year, but I started back when it was probably literally first edition, I think.
Wow.
But when we were running Fourth Ed for it, it was the longest game ever. It was 13 and a half hours.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. Which was kind of part of the point that it's like this test of endurance. And like when you hit like hour 13, you give them a riddle. You give them like a riddle.
Their brains don't even work anymore.
They're looking at it like, you come in the room, there's like three gems.
Oh,
there's
no.
Two of them are blue, one of them green. And what do you do? And you just watch them just like, oh my God, I don't know.
You see a grown man start crying.
I don't know what to do. But so I wrote the same amount of content that I do every year. It's usually like 10 rooms or something. And Fifth Ed, it finished this year when we did it, 7.5 hours.
Oh,
which
wow.
Was just, it was like, people were like, wow, that was fast.
You're making me want to try Fifth Ed.
I've been playing, it's a great system. It's fast. Like, even I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it's over. It's 7.5 hours? Really?
Don't you feel, wow. as any kind of those gamings progress, it doesn't seem like the combat rules become more intense, too? It's like, before, like, going back in the earlier editions, it was like, oh, I hit the guy, and, oh, that, either you took off some hit points or not, Now it's like detailed where you hit them and how you hit them and then...
Are they obscured or not?
Yeah.
I've certainly seen that, but Fifth Ed isn't like that. In fact, it's interesting. They really like almost say in the Dungeon Master's Guide, we're not really going to tell you like all the answers.
Right.
Like, we can't possibly cover everything anyway.
Right.
So just, if there's something that you don't know, just make it up, man. That's what you're here for.
Right.
Awesome.
which I love. I'm like, okay, I definitely make that shit up.
Yeah, that's it gives them a lot more leeway, because I'm sure we all have played with somebody who's a complete rule Nazi and they know everything,
right.
And then they try to tell the DM how to run everything.
Or two rule Nazis, and then they try to contradict each other.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so anyone listening, Fifth Ed, they kind of, like, Fourth Ed was just a whole new thing. Fifth Ed harkens back to, like, second edition. It's very quick, and it's really, it's awesome. We really like it.
That's great. Awesome. That's great. It's awesome. Good to know that you have other interests than the sex rocks and
yeah,
Star Trek.
That's right, man. I'm so fucking nerdy. Not only am I in the Star Trek band, but I play Dungeons and Dragons, man.
Well,
you heard it here first, guys.
But everybody does somewhere.
I'm like the king of the nerds.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's kind of like...
Yeah, step up unto me. if you guys were
we're
here,
not with you.
I totally run a D&D game for you. Yeah, once in a while I get out to New York for trade shows and stuff for my job. So if a member out there,
hit us up if you're in the area. Yeah, it'd be awesome.
That'd be a lot of fun.
We'll take you out drinking, and you know, maybe we'll lose you in New York somewhere.
Or do another episode where we just talk about whatever the hell we want.
I say we're doing live in a bar. It's funny because I was so hungover this morning because, like I said, I went out with the band last night. And I thought it might be fun that every time one of you said Star Trek, I would do a shot of vodka. You know, not tell you.
Oh, jeez.
Not tell you if I was doing it until I was learning so much. You guys are like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? Why are you fucking wasted?
Gradually worse and worse.
Like, over the course of an hour, he got wasted. But then I realized that it was probably just a bad idea. And another... For me to keep drinking.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
Probably have to go to work tomorrow. You gotta be good.
Yeah, I do. I do, exactly. I do.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Carl, for coming on. This has been an amazing interview. Thank you for talking about your new album, which will be out summerish.
Yeah, summerish. I tell you what, when it's done, I'll send you guys a copy.
Maybe that'd be great.
Tell the folks listening what you think. I think, again, I say this about every album, but this is by far our best album.
That's great.
That's what we say every podcast. This is our best new podcast. Hey,
best podcast.
To it.
Easily. Your best.
Definitely. And last time we did Robots Gone Wild.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that was too much fun. The jokes were just off the wall.
We got a sexy Tasha on the front of the cover, front and center.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was great talking with you. I mean, maybe we talk again after the album's out here, how you guys are doing. If you want to do another follow-up, I'd love to, talk with you again. It's been a great, great time.
Yeah, I am here whenever you guys want me.
Great. Thank you so much, Carl.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you, and ready? Here comes my Star Trek thing. Ready? Live long and prosper. I kill myself. Yeah, because it's Star Trek.
I know.
I have been and shall always be your friend and listener, Captain Carl.
Yes, there you go.
Awesome, guys. Much obliged. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks for letting us use your music. Thank you so much, and for coming on.
Yeah. Me music, Sue music.
Awesome. Well, take care. Hope to hear from you soon.
All right, guys.
All right, have a great night.
Take it easy. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us online at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. Our Twitter is @syntholicduo. If you want to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan. And Aaron at Blackbird2004. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes. We can also be found on Stitcher. Please tell your friends about the show. Also, if you could leave us a review and a rating, that would help us out so much. It'll help us learn how to improve so we can reach more of our fellow Trek fans. We'd love to hear your feedback. Live long and prosper. He was a young Starfleet doctor, about fell off his rocker. When he's a sign and came in. Country boys born and raised. At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You
still the best drinking friend I ever had.
What the hell's going on?
Alrighty, so,
are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording, but you can just cut this messed up part out. So,
do you want to play the intro? Satolix intro?
That would help!
Yeah, a little bit.
Come on! I've never done this before, Aaron.
You are the DJ, the MC.